Psalm 31, please. If you have a Bible, you'd like to follow the reading. Psalm 31. I want to read this entire psalm and really just do somewhat of a study with you and share a few things about what God's doing with me. And hopefully it'll be beneficial to you. Psalm 31. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. For thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. Thou hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. That it did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I've heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. I tell you, the Psalms are a wonderful, wonderful book, especially when you're going through troubles and trials. You'll not find yourself in any situation that you'll not find mirrored exactly here in this prayer book, hymn book of the Bible, the book of Psalms. I'm especially interested in verse 3, the last part of the verse. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Now listen to these verses out of the book of Exodus. Chapter 13, verse 17 and following. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. That word harness just indicates that they weren't a motley throng. Any of you fellows ever plowed with a horse or a mule, there's a certain amount of order involved in all that rigging. And the children of Israel went up harnessed. God's not the author of confusion, and God is leading. The Bible goes on to say, and they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. It'd be wonderful, wouldn't it, if we had a cloudy presence, and all we had to do was move when the cloudy presence moved, and when it stood still, then we stayed. But of course, you and I in these days don't have a cloudy presence that we can see with our physical eye as the children of Israel had to direct them and to lead them about. But we do have guidance. And if I know anything about God, if I'm really God's servant and God's son, then I'm standing here in this place tonight because I am being led of God. Now, it's an important thing to be led of God. When God saved his people out of Israel, he didn't say, now, here's the spot on the map, and I'm going to leave it up to Moses and the rest of you men to decide which is the best route. No, God himself led the people. And I want to talk to you tonight about guidance. I think every one of you, bar none, should be keenly interested in what I have to say from the Word of God concerning guidance. I talked to a young man last evening. He's to get married in September. I said, well, that's wonderful, I guess. How old are you? I'm 20, he said. I said, you're not old enough. I said, I didn't get married till I was almost 25, and I wasn't old enough. Should have waited till I was 35. No, what I was trying to emphasize to him is that's an important decision. You need to make sure it's the will of God in every aspect. I said, this girl you're about to marry, will she do what you tell her to? Will she submit to you? Well, I think so. I said, you better know so. Yes. Yes. Some of you young fellas going to get married, you better find one that'll do what you say. You young ladies looking for a husband, if you can't find one that you've got enough confidence in and respect for to submit to, you better leave him alone. I think he needs to seek God a little more thoroughly about this after our conversation. Now, a few things about guidance. They'd be well worth you writing down. Well worth you taking the time to, unless you have a really good memory, to make a note of some things. Five things I want to mention about guidance. I'll give you the references and read them for you. You'll not need to turn unless you just want to. Guidance. The psalmist said here in the last part of verse 3, therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. First of all, guidance is essential. Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Jeremiah 10:23. The Bible is saying that you and I do not have enough sense to choose our own way. Only God is capable of that. Therefore, guidance is essential. Proverbs 20:24, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Guidance is essential. If those people saved out of Egypt back there in the Old Testament needed guidance, how much more do you and I in this day need guidance? From God Almighty. You get the references, Jeremiah 10:23, Proverbs 20:24. Secondly, guidance is personal, or you might say individual. Here in Psalm 32, if you have your Bible open, you can see it in verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Guidance is personal. It's individual. Now, there are certain things that are true of every one of us. God will guide us in certain ways. But when it comes down to your life as an individual, God personalizes the guidance. He guides you as an individual, as a person, separate from all other people. And nobody can tell you the perfect personal will of God. No human being. Only God Himself can tell you. Guidance is essential. Guidance is personal, individual. God desires to guide you. He certainly desires to guide the church, and He does, as the church seeks the will of God. But God desires to guide you as a single person, separate from all others. Now, thirdly, guidance is conditional. It's conditional. I've said it's essential. I've said it's personal. And now I say to you that it's conditional. Psalm 25:9. 25:9. The Bible said, the meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His way. The meek. God cannot and will not guide a person unless that person is a meek person. If someone has been walking with the Lord Jesus for a number of years, we would expect from them two qualities: meekness and lowliness. Come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. We're to receive with meekness the engrafted word that's able to save our souls. The preaching of the word of God profits no one that's void of meekness. Now, what is meekness? Well, Moses and Aaron spake against Moses. Numbers 12. And Moses made no reply except to go tell God about it. And the Bible tells us now Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth. Meekness is that quality, that characteristic of a person who is not easily upset when they're bumped by others, slighted by others. They're not proud. You can't do anything with a stubborn, hard-headed, proud fool. Psalm 32:9. I just read verse 8. Verse 9 says, "Be ye not as the horse or as the mule which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle. I want to guide you with mine eye," says God. Don't be like a stupid mule or a horse. You got to put a bit in their mouth and pull them about here and there. Meekness. It's essential. It's one of the conditions of being guided. Psalm 37:23. "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." Here's another condition. The steps of a good man. And goodness here is referring to character, is it not? Soundness, wholeness, sincerity, integrity, uprightness. If you're deceitful and underhanded, if you're not honest, if you're not a good person, if there's not an innate soundness about you spiritually, God cannot and will not guide you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Tremendous verses, Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Now I believe that about 99% of knowing the will of God is getting yourself in a proper condition to know it. I mean a real desire to know it. In the days when Jeremiah prophesied, things were terrible. The people were in such a condition that God said to Jeremiah, "I want you to preach to them, but don't pray for them for their good." After God had just about cleared all the people out of the land except for a small, poor remnant that was left, they came to Jeremiah, some of those leaders, Jeremiah 42 and 43, you can read about it. They said, "Jeremiah," they said, "find out what the will of God is for us. Do we need to go down into Egypt, or do we need to stay here in the land?" God told Jeremiah, said, "My will is for them to stay here in the land, but it's not going to do you any good to tell them, because they already had their mind made up when they came and told you to pray for them." You see, in 23 years plus of preaching now, I find that a lot of people come and ask me about certain things. They're trying to find the will of God. I find that most people are coming to get to get my stamp of approval upon what they've already decided. That's hypocritical, is it not? I mean, what is the will of God? Well, let's get ourselves in a condition that God might speak to us and guide us. Meekness. Can't get you back up about things. Wrong in spirit. Wrong in practice. Wrong in life. And expect God to guide you. Guidance is conditional. Fourthly, guidance is methodical. And what I mean by that is God has a method in which he guides. We read that portion of Scripture in Exodus 13. It's pretty simple. Here's the cloudy pillar during the daytime and the fiery pillar by night. And when that stood, they camped. And when that pillar rose up and began to move, they struck their tents and they loaded up and they followed that cloudy presence of God. That was God's method in that day. Well, God has a method in this day of guiding his people. Now, we know from reading the New Testament that every child of God, that their body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. In fact, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. You don't belong to God if you don't have the Spirit of God. Now, God's method of leading is by His Spirit. John chapter 16 and verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. The Spirit of God that indwells every believer is a guide. And He guides us into all truth, into the right path. Romans 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. God speaks to you. The Spirit of God that indwells, we should be sensitive to Him and His voice as He speaks. Now, you know, the last time I came back because my health was so bad that I wasn't getting anything done over there, and I wasn't getting any help from the doctors, and I came back. And, of course, the church prayed, Brother Bearden prayed, and others prayed. Felt it would be the will of God for me to come back, and I was so sick that I didn't make any decision on my own. I let other people make the decision for me. But I'm not back this time because my health is bad. That's not why I'm standing here tonight, because I'm back in America because my health's bad. That's not it at all. It's a factor, but not a weighty one. My health's not good. But that's not what I'm doing back here. In fact, all things considered, it'd be easier on the flesh if I was still over there. There are a number of things, you know, that got my attention. One of them was ill health. But the thing that really got my attention was this method of God in leading by His Spirit. Nehemiah had the good hand of his God on him. And the good hand of God, I didn't sense it on me. And God and His presence. You know, I think a lot of times churches, they'll meet together, and whether God is there or not, I'm talking about His presence being sensed, would make no difference. Right. Could I just talk plain to you right now and not fuss at you? I'm not fussing at you, and I'm not trying to be smart. But you know, I'd say that most of you came tonight, and it wouldn't make a bit of difference to you whether God speaks or not. You didn't come expecting anything. You didn't come hungering for anything. You didn't come with a need in your soul. Oh, listen, brothers and sisters, we've got to have the good hand of God on us. And here I am on the mission field, and I feel like I'm there by myself. God is not with me. Oh, that'll get your attention. Unless you're just a formalist and a ritualist and you don't need God. But I need God. I can't make it without God. And so I'm troubled in my soul. The dove of peace is no longer residing there. He's took his flight. You see, God guides by His Spirit. And I didn't have the witness of the Spirit of God that I was where God wanted me to be. You see, at first, we weren't getting anything done. We were out there, we were out there after, house to house on the street praying, had one visitor to our services in that 10-month period. That got my attention. Never been like that before over there. God must be with us. We've got to have God. Well, what's the first thing a person would do in that situation? Well, you examine, you check up, you say, well, I don't have any unconfessed sin, and so I'm doing the best I can do, and it must be that God wants to move me. And so here comes a letter in the mail from a missionary way up north, and I've been wanting to go up in that direction. Brother, I'd like you to come up here and take over work for us for a few months while we go back to the States. And Sandra and I said, this must be the hand of God. And so we get excited about that. But the excitement doesn't last. What's wrong? Well, that's not the Spirit of God leading. No real sense of this is the will of God. Well, things came to a head, and we shared a prayer request with the folks. Psalm 86:17. Show me a token for good, said the psalmist. And I asked the folks, I said, pray with me that God will show me a token for good. Show me what he wants. Well, it was only 2 days later, I woke up early in the morning, and God said, I want you to read in Isaiah chapter 30. You know, it's amazing, isn't it? You know, God put that in my heart. It wouldn't have been any different than if you would have walked in there that morning before I got out of bed and you'd have told me you need to start reading in Isaiah chapter 30. And that leads me to the second part of God's method. God leads by His Spirit, and He leads by His Word. You know, you can read the Bible, and the Bible is just so many words. Ink on paper. But you know how it is. Sometimes you read, and that verse or verses or portion of a verse just leaps out and takes hold of you. And when I got to verse 15 in Isaiah chapter 30, in the middle part of that verse, it says, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. And God said, you're to go back. Now, I've been a missionary for 16 years on the mission field. August of 81, we went. And God said, you just go back. Well, what am I supposed to do, Lord? Where do I go next? And I stand before you tonight. If I know my heart, the best I know my situation right now, I'm willing to go anywhere. But I certainly am not just going to decide to go somewhere. You see, I always felt that if God ever was finished with me in Australia, that he'd say, I want you now to go to Alaska or down in the Amazon or over to Africa. But God didn't lead me that way. You see, I already had it all figured out, just like you do. You got something you're praying about, and you got it figured out just how God's going to answer that prayer or how he's going to do it. And he seldom ever does it like you thought it would be. Oh, we serve a great God. Well, Lord, I don't understand what you're doing. What about all those churches that help me and have confidence in me?
If I don't understand, you think they're going to understand?
And so I said, my, here I thought I had a little faith. I thought I was living the faith, and no, I'm not. Why am I questioning God? Well, I just kept reading in the book of Isaiah. And I got to 42:16. And I'll bring the blind. By way they know not. I'll lead them in paths that they've not known. I'll make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. Well, there's my answer. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. There are other verses through that latter part of Isaiah, but those two verses, God said, here are your two verses. You return, rest, quietness and confidence. You wait on me. When I get ready, I'll bring you along. God leads, He has method. He leads by His Spirit. The Spirit troubles you, speaks to you, makes you get in the Word, find out. And the same Spirit applies those verses to you in your situation. God has method in His leading, by His Spirit, by His Word. And the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. And the word of the Lord came unto Elijah. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, saying, arise, go to Nineveh. God leads by His word. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Psalm 73:24, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. So method, it's methodical. The Spirit, the Word, and then a sense of peace. Now listen to me. It's been my experience that the devil will mimic the voice of God. The devil will make verses appear to be meant for you. And the devil will stir you up to do something rashly. But it's never been my experience that the devil has been able or is able to give you peace. Luke 1:79, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. As soon as God started dealing with me, and I had peace about it, and peace is an essential part of God's method. You've prayed about it. You've gotten the word. You feel God spoken. Tomorrow you feel the same way. The next day you feel the same way. The next day the same way. I say to you again, the devil rushes you. God doesn't rush. You ever found a place in the Gospels where the Lord Jesus was in a hurry? In fact, the only place I've ever found in the Bible where God is depicted as being in a hurry is that parable of the younger son. When he came back home, the Bible said his father ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And he's a picture of God the Father, isn't he, the Father? But that's the only time in the Bible I ever find deity in a hurry. God doesn't rush you. God doesn't get you worked up. Well, I did it, but it must have been God. Well, it might not have been. It might have been the devil or the flesh. You know, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. We're told in 1 Corinthians 14. Peace. Peace. Thank God. I'm glad I've got peace in my soul tonight. If you've got it, there's nothing like it, is it? Peace like a river. And then counsel. Counsel. The Spirit of God speaks. The Word of God, it's made plain to you. You have peace about it. But you never trust yourself. So you seek godly counsel. 2 Corinthians 13:1, Paul refers to an Old Testament custom of in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Acts 13, verse 1 and following, there were certain prophets and teachers in the church at Antioch, and it gives a list of them there. And while they were praying and ministering to the Lord, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called." When God began to deal with me about this situation and our ministry there in Australia, I didn't waste any time. I got on the phone and I got in touch with a pastor. I wanted my preacher to know about it. And I want him to pray with me. It just so happened that it's about camp meeting time. And I had some other men of God who had prayed for me in the past and were still concerned about the ministry. And I mentioned them also to Brother Bearden. I said, "I want you all to pray." Counsel. Why do we have a pastor? Just somebody we give a little money to and come visit in the hospital and marries our children for us and marries us when we die and preaches something that doesn't upset us too much on Sundays and Wednesdays? No, he's there as an under-shepherd to the great shepherd. And though I'm a preacher and called of God to go with the gospel, I still need a pastor. And I said, "Brother, I want you to pray. And just tell me what God says to you. And ask those other brethren to do the same thing. And just let me know what you feel God is saying. I'm not asking you to find the will of God for me. But just what does the Spirit, what will He say to you? I want you to find out." The wise man in the book of Proverbs, a number of verses, talks about in the multitude of counselors there's safety, and by wise counsel make war. And yes, oh, listen. You listen to the man of God. You listen to these old saints of God that know God. Not everybody that's gray-headed knows God now. You know, the hoary head's a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness, but just because you got snow on your head don't mean you're not a fool. But it usually indicates, I've found, that men and women that's got a little snow up top, they got a little sense in there too. And so I always like to know what other people that pray and know God think about a situation before I make any major decisions. I think I'm giving it to you right. There is method in God's leading. And then, of course, circumstances enter into it. They may be good and they may be bad. Here are just a couple of references. Acts 27:4 says the winds were contrary. 27:13 says the south wind blew softly. Circumstances don't have anything to do with the will of God. You heard that? When I went to school, there was this young fellow that said God had called him to be a missionary to China. We said, well, the door is closed to China. He said, well, when God gets ready to take me there, it'll be open. I said, if he's called you, it will. Well, that was about 22 years ago. I don't know if he ever made it or not. But if he did, it would only have been recently. So God has method in his guidance. It is methodical. And then last of all, guidance is continual. You never get beyond the need of it. Isaiah 58 and verse 11, and the Lord shall guide thee continually. And then Psalm 48 verse 14, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. And I'm glad it's so. Guidance. Oh, I'm glad that God never leaves us and never forsakes us. He doesn't say, well, you know enough now, you can make it on your own. But he's right there with us. Always, even to the end of the world. Folks, God wants to guide us. And we so desperately need to walk with him. Not to lean to our own understanding, but always, in every situation, acknowledge him. And he'll direct our paths. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. That's my responsibility and your responsibility. Here's his. And he shall direct thy paths. That's not my responsibility, that's his. I'm to trust him with all my heart, not to trust myself, lean to my own understanding. In all my ways, acknowledge him. What's the Spirit say? What's the Word of God say? Am I meeting the conditions? In all my ways, acknowledge him. And what did he say do? He'd direct each of our paths. You know, when you think about it, there are no little decisions. If every idle word that men speak, they give an account thereof in the day of judgment. If every idle word is important enough that you and I are going to render account at the day of judgment, I say to you that there's no little decisions and choices that we make. We need to walk with God, to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. We don't know what we face the rest of this day nor on tomorrow. But God knows. And to have a sense of his presence, to know his good hand is on us. David's in trouble. He's seeking God. And he says, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me.
Some of you folks going to make decisions. You better make the right one. Some of you young people are going to make choices about somebody you're going to live with for the rest of your earthly life. You better make the right choice. Oh, the responsibility that rests on a child of God. If he's to be effective, for the cause of Christ, we got to have God. And if I go my own way, I must go alone. And I say of Moses, Moses said, Lord, if you're not going with us, he said, well, he said, don't take us. And he said, I'm not going. But if God's not going with us, let's don't go anywhere. And so tonight I'm doing something that the flesh cannot do. I'm waiting on God. The flesh can do anything but wait. It can work. It can worry. It can whine. It can whimper. But it can't confidently and quietly wait on God. I know that from experience, and I'm experiencing it now. So I want you to pray for us as God leads you. I wouldn't want to fail the Lord. Wouldn't want to falter and faint. I haven't seen much accomplished for the Lord. And the Lord's been with me. So I certainly don't want to go anywhere alone. Well, yeah, Brother Johnny Renfro said I was slow and easy. So I guess I'm not given to being what you'd call rash and presumptuous by nature. But I'm not out of danger by any means. He leadeth me, O blessed salt, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. I'm insignificant. Unimportant. In my own eyes and in the eyes of many others, but not to Almighty God. And neither you. He careth for you. I tell you what, that would warm the heart. I'm a Presbyterian. I mean the staunchest Presbyterian. And it ought to warm the heart of an independent Baptist even on a midweek Wednesday night prayer meeting service. Yes. Yes. Yeah, Lord, give me a little squeeze. Makes it run out of my eyes when he squeezes me. Only it's you. I'm going to tell you, when I look around, I can't find much to warm my old heart and make me want to keep on keeping on, but I got somebody living in me. Isaiah 42 said, he'd not fail nor be discouraged. And you and I have a hope of heaven, because during that earthly sojourn of our blessed Lord, He didn't fail, and He never got discouraged. He set His face like a flint, and He endured the cross, despising the shame, for love of you and love of me. But even more than that, for the love of His Heavenly Father, for the love of the will of the Father, that's what sustained Him. Has the love of God been shed abroad in your heart? Do you want more than anything else to know and do the will of God? Well, I'd say you're one of God's children. And that ought to comfort you in every situation. Well, I've been trying to quit for the last few minutes. I think I can now. I think I've said everything God wants me to say. The Lord is good and doeth good. Let's bow for prayer.